Wake up! I'm reading from Isaiah 52. Wake up! Pull on your boots, Zion. Dress up in your Sunday best. This is the Message paraphrase, not something like the NIV. Jerusalem, wake up! Dress up in your Sunday best, Jerusalem, holy city. Those who want no part of God have been culled out. They won't be coming along. Brush off the dust and get to your feet, captive Jerusalem. Throw off your chains, captive daughter of Zion. God says, you were sold for nothing, you're being bought back for nothing. Again, the Master, God, says, early on, my people went to Egypt and lived, strangers in the land. At the other end, Assyria oppressed them, and now, what have I here? God's decree. My people are hauled off again for no reason at all. Tyrants on the warpath, whooping it up, and day after day, incessantly, my reputation blackened. Now it's time that my people know who I am, what I'm made of. Yes, that I have something to say. Here I am. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing the good news, breaking the news that all's well, proclaiming good times, announcing salvation, telling Zion, your God reigns. Voices listen, your scouts are shouting thunderclap shouts, shouting in joyful unison. They see with their own eyes God coming back to Zion. Break into song. Boom it out, ruins of Jerusalem. God has comforted his people. He's redeemed Jerusalem. God has rolled up his sleeves. All the nations can see his holy, muscled arm. Everyone from one end of the earth to the other sees him at work, doing his salvation work. Out of here. Out of here. Leave this place. Don't look back. Don't contaminate yourselves with plunder. Just leave, but leave clean. Purify yourselves in the process of worship, carrying the holy vessels of God. But you don't have to be in a hurry. You're not running from anybody. God is leading you out of here, and the God of Israel also has your rear guard. Wow. What a strong call to action that is. It's like the rousing speech at the beginning of a battlefield scene. You've got the army laid out in front of you, and then the mighty warrior captain on this huge steed pacing up and down in front of his army, calling them to battle, calling them ready for action, rousing them up, getting them ready to change, getting them ready for action. Wake up, get ready. It's time for action. It's time to move out. It's time to move on. It's time to press in. It's time for change. Are you ready this morning, church, for change? That's good. Do you know, as I was reading this passage, I was struck by the parallels it had throughout Scripture. So I want to take you with me this morning on a little journey that I went through when reading this Scripture, of the different parallels and the different Scriptures that it seems to nod towards. So let's go on a bit of a journey this morning throughout Scripture. So it says, those who want no part of God, they won't be coming. Brush off the dust and get to your feet. Now we see that paralleled in Matthew when Jesus is sending out his disciples to share the gospel. It says this, if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. He's saying here, have nothing to do with those who aren't listening to you. Have nothing to do with those who are being negative towards you. Shake it off. Shake off the dust. Get up and go. This passage calls us to rise up. And it's not just talking about literally standing up. It's talking about rising up to our position. It's talking about rising up to our rightful place in the heavenly realms. Is talking about rising up to the standing and the position that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2 verse 5 it says, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As sons and daughters of God, we are heirs to the throne. God calls us and says, come and sit by me in the heavenly places. We have a seat at the banquet table in heaven. We have authority and power in the name of Jesus. So when this passage says, rise up, it's saying, rise up and believe that you are a son and you are a daughter of God and you have all the power and authority that comes with that. So rise up. Rise up above whatever situation or circumstance you find yourself in right now. Rise up above that and know that your enemies are at your feet. Rise up and take your rightful place with Christ Jesus in heaven. In Psalm 110, Jesus says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Wow. So we're called to rise up above our enemies, to rise up above our situations and our circumstances and whatever it is that's coming against us in our daily lives, rise up against that until that enemy, that situation, that circumstance becomes our footstool. Our footstool. We're just going to put our feet on it and say, do you know what? I'm just going to relax. Because when you've got your feet on a footstool, you're relaxed. So you're not worrying about your enemies anymore. You're just relaxing and you've got your feet upon them. You don't care about them. So when God says, rise up, sit next to me until I make your enemies your footstool, it's saying, don't worry about it. I have got your back. When something is under your foot, it's in a place of submission. It has no power over you at all. It's in a place of submission. They have to submit to us through the power of Christ because with God, nothing can come against us. Nothing can defeat us. Nothing can stop us from attaining to his calling and his purpose in our lives. So this morning, we need to rise up. And I hope you're hearing that this morning. Each and every one of us need to rise up above whatever it is that we're facing and put that situation, that enemy, that circumstance at our feet in a place of submission, in a place where we don't need to worry about it anymore. So wake up, church. Dust yourself off. Throw off your chains, it says in that passage. Throw off your chains. Anything that is holding you captive, anything that is binding you up, anything that is stopping you from breaking out into the calling of God on your life, throw it off. Throw it off this morning. Wake up, dust yourself off, and throw off the chains. And then it says, put on your garments of beautiful. Put on your beautiful garments. Clothe yourselves in the righteousness of God. God paid the ultimate price when he sent his son to die for us on the cross and he conquered over death so that we can be righteous, so that we can be whole, so that we can be completely pure and holy in his sight. We've already got that. As soon as you accept Jesus into your life, you are righteous. You will never be any more righteous than you are right now. You will never be more pure than you are right now if you have Jesus in your life. So clothe yourself in that. Believe that that is true about you. So when it's saying, rise up and clothe yourselves, it's a reminder that actually, I don't need to do anything else other than know that I am righteous in God. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to act on anything in order to be more pure or more holy, because I'm already there. It's so good, and that is the power of grace in our lives. In Isaiah 52:6, it says this, now it's time that my people know who I am, what I'm made of. Yes, I have something to say, here I am. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing good news, breaking the news that all's well, proclaiming good times, announcing salvation and telling Zion, your God reigns. I love that. It's time people know who I am and what I'm made of. Here I am. That's what God's saying. And oh man, he means business in this. He's not just talking about, oh, I'm going to show them a couple of miracles. He's not just saying, I'm going to give them a glimpse of who I am as God. He means some serious business. It's time people know who I am. Here I am. Do you know, when I read this, my mind went straight to the portion of Scripture where Jesus leads Peter and James and John up the mountain for the transfiguration. Because it was in that moment that Jesus gave them that here I am moment. Do you know, those disciples had spent a lot of time with Jesus at that point. They knew who he was. They knew that he was God. They'd seen him do miracles. They'd seen his grace. They'd seen the way he went about his life. But they perhaps hadn't fully grasped that he was fully God. So he took them with him on a journey up the mountain, and he gave them that vision of who he is. It says he transfigured before their eyes. Let me get this right. And his face became a bright light, it says. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. So on that mountain, he said, here I am. This is me in all of my fullness. This is me in all of my glory and all of my might. Behold, I am God. What an honor and a privilege that must have been for them. But here it is in Scripture again, God saying, it's time that people know who I am. It's time that people see me for who I am. Here I am. I am God. I am fully God. And the Scripture goes on, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing the good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing the good news. So I hope that at some point in our lives, each and every one of us gets to have that mountaintop experience with God, where he says, here I am. You know, we might have seen him do good things in our lives. We might have seen him do miracles in other people's lives. But it's not until you have an experience with God, a one-on-one experience where he says, here I am, and shows you himself in all his fullness, that we can have that revelation. But when we do, oh man, we better go and tell some people about it. You can't keep that kind of thing to yourself. We need to be running down the mountain and sharing the good news. Zion, your God reigns. So after we've had that experience and God has revealed himself to us in all his fullness, what else can we do but go and share the good news? And do you know what? Some people might hear that and think, I am not an evangelist. And for a long time, I thought, do you know what? I'm not an evangelist. I find it really hard to go up to people and say, let me tell you about Jesus. I find it really hard to go up to people and just have a conversation. You know, I'm happy to say I go to church, and if they engage me, I'll talk with them. But I find it really difficult to just go, let me tell you about God. You know, that for some people, that's dead easy. For me, not so much. Okay? So when I'm talking about here, saying run down the mountain and shout from the rooftops, your God reigns, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to run up to strangers in the street and say, let me tell you about God, he's amazing. You have to come to church, because that might scare some people. They might not come. But what we can do is we can have that experience with God, and then we can be changed. And in the way that we're changed, we then run down the mountain a different person. We run down the mountain a different person. We're changed. And then people look at us going about our day-to-day life, doing exactly what we did before that experience, but we've been changed. So we're doing it in a different way. And they look at us and they go, wow, what have you got? How do I get that? That's cool. Let me talk to you about that. And then the conversations happen. So that's how I like to do things. And you know, it's different for everyone. So don't hear me saying this is how you should evangelize. That's not what I'm saying. But that's what I take from this for me. You've got to hear what that means for you. But how beautiful, he says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing the good news. Do you know, when you meet with God, whether that's here on a Sunday morning, or whether it's in your personal time with him, or whether you see him in a sunset or in a quiet moment, or whatever it is, it should give you that passion and that desire to show other people, to tell other people. In whatever that looks like, it should fill you with that joy and with that abundance that then overflows into the way that you do life and the way that you interact with others. So what good news are you going to carry down the mountain this morning? I hope that we've met with him in the worship and whatever else has happened this morning. I hope that we've met with God and we're going to go away from this place a little bit changed. I hope that's happening for people this morning. So what, when we leave this place, are you going to tell people? What, when you leave this place, is going to change in your lives so that people see something different in the way you do life? When we meet with God, we're changed. Every single time we meet with God, we're changed. It might be just a tiny little change. It might be something that even in our own understanding, we don't see, but others see. But then it might be something huge. It might be something drastic. It might be that even this morning, as we've been singing and praying, and as we're listening now, that chains are being broken. It might be that we go out of this place a completely different person to the person we came in as. Amen. That would be amazing. So I pray that you hear this, that every single time you meet with God, you're changed, whether it's a drastic change or a tiny change, every single time without fail. Do you know, we talked about this the other week in life groups. When we were looking at the value of being spiritual, we were looking at how we were changed. Who's loving life groups, by the way? I know Steve spoke about this already, but who's loving life groups? They are so good. Who's looking forward to socials?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know what? But they're so good, and I do encourage you to get involved if you're not yet. Get involved in life groups. Come and speak to one of the leaders, and we'll make sure you're in one and that you can get connected in that way, because they are so good. But we were looking at this. We looked at Romans 12, where it encourages us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to be changed from the inside out. Do you know that internal process of God changing us, that internal process of God working in us, just brings us more and more to his likeness? And that's the whole point of this journey that we're going on with Christ, is that when we meet with him, we're changed, and as we're changed, we become more and more like him. And then through that change, we then have an outward change in the way we do life and the way we interact with people that then demonstrates that love of God to others. And you know, that came up a little bit in life groups this week as well. We were talking about generosity. We were talking about how actually when we are in relationship with God and when we spend time with him, then we are changed. And so actually our actions, even without us knowing it, make a difference in other people's lives. What might seem to us as a natural thing to do can seem to someone else as a huge act of generosity. Yeah. But because we're in relationship with God, and because we're connected with him, and we're close to him, and he's changing us, even without us being aware of it, we're just going about life. Yeah. We're just doing life the way we do life because we're in relationship with God. And others are going, wow, that's so generous. Why did you do that? And it's just because, you know, we're doing it without thinking. It's just because God has changed us. God has changed our hearts. God has put things in our minds and saying, you need to do this. And we're just like, yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and do that. Or, you know, ask someone how they're doing, or buy a pack of biscuits for the guys at work. You know, simple things like this can make a huge difference in other people's lives. And it's all because we're connected with him. God is working in us and through us. He's changing us from the inside out, and it's good. Yes. Who knows change is good?
Yes.
Who knows change can be stressful?
Yes.
Same. Do you know what?
Good and stressful.
Good and stressful. That's good. Change can be one of the most stressful things in life. Even when we want change, change can be stressful. Even when we want change, change can be stressful. And sometimes in our humanity, we resist change. I was going to call Gary up on the stage here. It's a bit unfortunate he wasn't here, but you know, I won't embarrass anyone else. So I'm here. This is me. You know, I'm a little bit unhealthy, if I'm honest. I'm a little bit overweight. I'd quite like to lose a bit of weight. But then there's some people who have quite nice looking bodies. And I'm like, you know what? I'm here. This is me. I'm all right. I'm okay with it. And then there's some people over here who are like, I'm all right. Look at you. Okay? So I'm here, and I'd quite like to be here, but I'm not. And I know full well what this journey looks like. Okay? Some of you are hearing me this morning. I'm here. I want to be there. And I know what this journey looks like. I know to get from here to here, I'm going to have to stop eating pizza. I love pizza.
How long is it till the ball?
I've worked it out. We've got... So there's going to be some hard work. So not only am I going to have to give up some stuff that I like, I'm also going to have to take up some stuff I don't like. Like eating stuff that doesn't taste good. Or doing exercise. You know, all these things that, let's say I don't have time for. I probably do have time for. Yeah. Walk to work, it's a long way. So on this journey, I can see where I am, I can see where I want to be, but this journey is the thing that's stopping me, right? Because I want to get there, but I don't want this bit. Can we just invent like a teleportation process to get me here without the work? That'd be great. But change can be hard work. Change can be stressful. It can be, you know, this journey that we see from getting to A to B can cause us a blockage because we get scared about change. We get nervous about the hard work that it's going to take to get us there. But you know, as someone wise has said many times, if you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it, right? So you've got to see where you want to be if you're going to get there.
You can't create before you
do it. Okay. But change is inevitable. Change is an inevitable process. We never stop changing. Sometimes we might want to stop changing, but we never stop changing. We change as we grow old. We change as we mature. They are not necessarily the same thing. I can contest to that. Do you know what? Who knows we change when we get married? Yep. Okay. Yep, we change when we have kids. Who knows about that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that changes you. We change when we face new opportunities. We change when new people come into our lives. You know, there's so many opportunities for change. There's so many things that cause change in our lives. But change is good, and we need to embrace it. Don't run away from it. Embrace it. Change is good. In fact, change is in God's plan for our lives. It says in the Bible that He makes all things new. The old is thrown away. And as we change, we become more and more like Him. It says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And when He says that, He means things are changing. Get ready, because we're going to go through this together. You know, last time I stood up here, we were talking about David fighting Goliath. And his heart changed. His attitude changed when he'd made that decision to face Goliath. He changed from being a shepherd to being a warrior to being a king. But by facing that giant, by defeating that giant, it was a catalyst to change. Because of slaying that giant, he then walked into riches. He then got a beautiful bride. He then went on to become one of the greatest kings ever known. All because he was willing to change. Do you know, we're called to put off our old self and to be transformed. To be transformed and changed into the likeness of God. God wants to change us. So embrace it. God wants us to change. Do you know, sometimes we tell ourselves that we can't change. It's a bit like that scenario I was saying, we tell ourselves we can't change because we see that journey. Or perhaps we've had words of negativity spoken over our lives like David, you can't do There's no way you can achieve that. There's no way you can get there. You can do that. You're not good enough. You're worthless. You're too young. Whatever it is, these negative words can be a blockage to change. Or perhaps we've tried to change and we've failed. We've tried and we've failed and we've tried and we've failed and we've tried and we've failed again. So why bother? Why bother trying again? Do you know, life can be a little bit like those travelators at the airports. Do you know the ones where you can run on them and feel like an Olympian because you're going so fast? Except we're going up this travelator the wrong way. And if you stop, you just end up going backwards. You know, they say if you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards. And I think that can be true. But do you know, if you try and you fail and you fall flat on your face, you're still moving forwards. You're still moving forwards. Right? So pick yourself up and try again. Don't conform, transform. Don't conform, transform. We need to keep pushing on. We need to keep pressing in. Do you know, God looks at me and he doesn't see me as I stand here today. God looks at me and he sees future me. And I'm telling you, future me is even more awesome, if that's possible, than the me that's here right now. I want to meet that guy. I want to be that guy. But in order to be that guy, I've got to change. Because whether I like it or not, I'm not quite awesome enough just yet. So I've got to keep changing. In order to do that, I need to spend more time with God because he's the one that's going to do the work in me. I don't know about you, but I want to see what he sees when he looks at me. I want to see what he sees when he looks at me. Because that is going to give me the desire and the drive to change. But it's going to take hard work. There's no getting from A to B without going on that journey. And we can't let it be a blockage. We have to realize that there's a journey, but that the hard work is going to pay off. We have to realize that that journey is going to be hard work, but the work is going to pay off. If we do nothing, nothing will change. But the change and the hard work is so worth it. Something in us needs to change. And it needs to change in our minds first. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, it says in the scriptures. We need to make a conscious decision that we're going to put in that hard work to get from A to B. We need to make a conscious decision that we're going to put in the hard work, because the hard work will pay off. So it starts in our minds. It starts with the way that we think about life. We need to accept that there's going to be hard work. We need to accept that this journey isn't going to be easy, but understand that future me, future you, is the person that you should be. So it's worth going on that journey. We need to take responsibility. We need to take ownership. Because God's not going to do it for us. He's going to help us for sure. He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we have that help and that support that we need to go on this journey. But he's not going to do it for us. We have to be willing. We have to be eager. We have to step out into that journey to make that change, or it's not going to happen. We can't just sit back and expect him to do all the work. Do you know, perhaps the reason that we don't change is because we've got a poor attitude. Maybe that's what it is. Perhaps we respond poorly to temptation. Take ownership of that. It's no one else's fault how you react to temptation. It's no one else's fault but yours. Now, I thank God that our God is not an accuser. But we need to take responsibility and ownership of our lives, because if we want to get from A to B, we're going to have to go on a journey and it's going to be hard. But God is with us. God is with us. Thank goodness. Do you know, we need to stop remembering all the times we failed. We need to believe that in Christ we can succeed. Even if it takes 100 times, we need to keep pressing on. Keep trying it on. We need to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, clothe ourselves in the righteousness that has been bought for us and get going down the mountain. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get going. We need to forget about past situations and circumstances that have come against us and believe that God is going to bring about change. God is going to change our lives. He's going to transform us into our future selves. He's going to transform us into the men and women that he created us to be. Do you know, in Isaiah 43, it says this. It says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Forget about what's happened and don't keep going over old history. Unforgiveness is a blockage to change. Unforgiveness is a blockage to change. And I really felt it was important to talk about this morning. Unforgiveness is a blockage to change. When we hold on to past anger, to past bitterness, to past hate and past hurt, it stops us from changing. God calls us to change. He calls us to rise up, remember? To rise up over those things, over our enemies, over our circumstances and our situations, and put them at our feet. We don't need to worry about that anymore. They're at our feet. We need to rise up, or it's going to cause a blockage. Unforgiveness says, it's not my fault, it's theirs. I haven't done wrong, they have. But it hurts only you. Do you know what? Oftentimes, the person you're not forgiving is unaware that you're not forgiving them, and they probably don't even care. Unforgiveness hurts only you. It's a blockage for you and no one else. I mean, if we're honest, it might hurt people around you. The people that you care about the most, it might hurt them. But the person who you are not forgiving, it doesn't hurt them. They probably don't care. Unforgiveness is a blockage to your personal change and your attaining to your future self. So you need to rise up this morning. Rise up over whatever it is that you're holding on to and say, Jesus, I want to put it at your feet. Because I can't hold on to this anymore because it's stopping me from being the man or the woman that you've called me to be. God calls us to forgive. And he is the perfect example. He forgives us time and time again. No matter how many times we screw up, he will forgive us as soon as we ask for it. Even before we've asked for it, he's forgiven us. So we need to show that grace to others and be able to release ourselves, to throw off that chain of unforgiveness so that we can break through on this journey of attaining to our future selves. And it's hard work. It's just one element that's holding us back, but it's going to be hard work. This journey is not going to be easy. And if that's the thing that you need to shake off, if that's the thing that you need to break free of, then I pray that you will do that this morning. Break off that chain and step forward into the journey that God's got for you. It's going to take work. It's going to take hard work. But we need to be intentional about the way we do life. We need to be intentional about living from a place of forgiveness. Without even a glimmer of hesitation, he forgives us. So we should do the same. Don't hold on. Don't let go. Don't hold on. Let go. Break through the barrier of change and continue on that journey to become the man or woman that God has made you to be. Then it goes on. Be alert. Be present. So it starts, forget about what happened. Don't go over old stuff. Be present. Be alert. I'm about to do something brand new. Can you see it? It's exciting once we realize that when we break off those chains, when we realize that once we step out of whatever it is that we're holding on to from the past, we can start to see what it is that God's doing for us in the future. And that's where we should be focused, because that's where stuff gets exciting. That's where we become more and more like him. God's doing something new. Can you see it? Can you feel it? If you don't break down that barrier, whatever it is this morning, break down that barrier and press on into the journey. Okay, we're coming to close now, but I just want to read one more portion of scripture to you. Maybe Brett can come back up. That'd be great. Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this, "But when you turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. As he stands before us and says, 'Here I am,' we're being transformed. We're being transformed into the image of him from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." When you turn to the Lord with unveiled face, we can see him. It's a picture of the transfiguration. When God says, "Look at me, here I am, this is me in my fullness." And through seeing him, we're changed. Whether it's a tiny change or a huge change this morning, we're being changed. And we're going to go out of this place and we're going to make a difference in our communities because of who we are now, because of that change that we've gone through. And every time we meet with God, every single time we meet with God, we're going to be changed. And we're going to go out and make a difference because we're that better person. We're that future self. We're more and more like him. Do you know, I believe this morning that God is impressing on us the absolute necessity of letting go of the past. Letting go of past hurts, failures, disagreements, disappointment, whatever it is. Because all of those things are a barrier to change. All of those things are stopping us from attaining to becoming our future selves. It's time to rise up, to dust ourselves off, and to clothe ourselves in the righteousness of him. As we see his face, we're changed and we're transformed. And with that change, that continuous change in our lives, our actions and our words and the way we do life will demonstrate the love of God to those around us. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the messenger carrying the good news of him. How beautiful. So don't be afraid of change. Embrace change and be aware of whatever it is that's stopping you from moving forward. Be aware of whatever it is that's causing you that blockage to move into the person that God's called you to be. Because that person is someone I want to meet. That person is awesome. So let's get there. Let's get there as quickly as we can. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that you are a good, good Father. I thank you that you are the perfect example of the way we should do life. And I thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit so that we can do the things that you call us to do with your strength, with your power. So Lord God, this morning I just want to pray for those people who are against blockages, who are coming up against barriers in their lives that are stopping them from becoming the man or woman that you've called them to be. So just take a minute to think about those things, to think about if that's you. To think if there's something in your life that's stopping you from progressing in your journey with him. Think about that thing right now. Lord God, I just pray against these barriers, against these walls that are stopping us progressing forward. I pray this morning, even now, as we're speaking with you, you will smash down that wall. You will break those chains and you will cast off those worries, those hurts, those fears, that unforgiveness, whatever it is. I pray that you will cast it off and clothe us with your righteousness. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will begin to bubble up inside of us so that even now we can feel your presence in us and we just want to burst out of this place changed. We can go out into our communities and we can live out a life knowing that we're focused on you, and in doing so, we'll make a difference. We'll demonstrate the love of Christ through the way we live our lives because we're connected to you. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you we don't have to do this journey on our own, because in our own strength, we can do nothing. But I thank you we don't have to. So Lord God, we call on you this morning and say, be with us as we go out of this place and into our weeks with all the stresses and pressures that come against us when we hit Monday morning. I pray that you'll be with us and you'll remind us of this day. You'll remind us that you are with us and that you want to see us change. Lord, give us a glimpse of our future selves so that we can be excited and we can be passionate about becoming that person. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have put in us the power of your Spirit to be able to get there. So help us, I pray, as we go on that journey. In Jesus' name.